Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the prophet Obadiah. There is only one chapter in the prophecy of Obadiah, so turn with me to Obadiah, chapter 1 and all. Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how thou art cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end, that every one of the mount Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of their distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is nearer upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, the prophet Obadiah is the author of this prophecy. There are 12 or 13 individuals in Scripture spoken or by the name of Obadiah. It is difficult to know which of those, or if any of them, if this is not simply this prophet Obadiah is not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. It's difficult to know all of those things. The time of writing is also difficult to ascertain, and among believing scholars, there are only two really viable candidates. It speaks of a day when Edom, and that is the country that was founded by Jacob's brother Esau, also called in Scripture Idumea, sometimes called Mount Teman because of the capital city. It was a tall, elevated, easily defended kind of land. And so Esau, that land, that country, Edom itself, boasted because of their defensibility. They trusted in the height of their rocks and crags, if you will. And so what you have in this passage then is Edom, the country of Esau, standing off to the side and cheering on and joining in the forces that destroyed Jerusalem. And there are only two candidates for this destruction. The first is in the 9th century BC under the reign of Jehoram. The Arabians and the Philistines entered into the kingdom of Israel and into Jerusalem and carried away many captives and took much substance out of the house of God. Then the other, obviously, would be Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian captivity and the destruction of Jerusalem at that time. Two of my favorites, Gleason Archer and E.J. Young. E.J. Young is for the latter, and Gleason Archer is for the former. So even among a couple of my favorite Old Testament men, we can't find agreement. two very stout believing scholars. For my own part, I believe that the date of writing ought to be dated around 586 B.C. or shortly thereafter, after the Chaldeans destroyed Jerusalem, so the Babylonian captivity. That's what's being spoken of here. And the reason for that, I believe, is the support of the Scripture itself in Psalm 137. You remember Psalm 137. In Psalm 137, Edom is spoken of there as in exactly the same way as he is spoken of here in the book of Obadiah. As that nation that stood by and entered in to the destruction of Jerusalem instead of honoring the quote-unquote brotherly covenant. So Psalm 137 obviously tells us that it is an exilic psalm. By Babel's streams we sat and wept. You remember how it begins. And so from Psalm 137 then, I would place the date of writing of Obadiah around 586, 585, 584 B.C., somewhere in there, shortly after the destruction of Jerusalem by the Chaldean forces. All right, so we also need to remember that this prophecy is written about two characters, right? Jacob and Esau. And remember that Jacob and Esau, while they were historical men, that when Rebekah was pregnant with them, you remember that it was said of her that two nations shall be in thy womb. And Jacob and Esau, prophetically and typologically speaking, represent more than simply two men. They represent the elect and the reprobate race of men, the two humanities. And this is why the Lord says in the Old and in the New Testament, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. So Jacob and Esau represent more than simply two men, and more than simply two families, more than simply Israel and Edom. They really do represent, prophetically speaking, the two humanities. And so when we speak of the prophecy of Obadiah, what we want to understand is, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, as the guiding theme over all of Obadiah, prophetically speaking. So that when we see these prophecies against Mount Teman, against Edom, against Idumea, we recognize that the Lord, yes, he will judge Edom. Where is Edom today? Where's that nation? That's right, it's gone. That's right, it's gone. But also, there is a prophetic tunnel through which the Lord destroys the nation of Edom, but at the end of days will destroy all those who are truly the spiritual children of Edom, those who are the haters of the Lord. But then also, there is the family of Jacob, the family of the chosen race, those who have, like Jacob did, power with God. Not power in themselves, but power because of what Christ has done for them. And so we have also that elect race, and that is also set forth here toward the end of the prophecy. All right, so the judgment against Edom in the first section, verses 1 through 9. The nations are called by the Lord against Edom, and the Lord has set Edom for them as an easy prey. And notice that the sovereignty of God extends to unbelieving nations. The Lord says, I will call the heathen up against Edom. The next point is a common theme in Scripture, and that is that pride is a deceiver. Edom is proud. Notice, by pride we give ourselves leave to sin against God. By pride we believe that the Lord will not draw us into judgment. By pride we believe that we rest securely and that our enemies cannot touch us. By pride we trust in our own strength and prowess, our own battlements and fortresses against any threat. But the Lord declares that no matter how much trust we have in our pride, and no matter how much we inflame our pride, that from there we will be cast down. And so the pride of Edom is set forth as typical of the human condition, and those especially who hate God. And then note the fullness of the judgment. There will be no gleaning left. The enemies will be insatiable. Even his hidden treasures will be dug up, and those who feigned peace with him will come to him with vengeance. And then even the wise and understanding, the mighty, will be cut off. Even those resources that Edom called upon in the day of battle will be of no avail. So the first 9 verses is the judgment. Verses 10 through 16, why? Why would the Lord move against Edom like this? Notice what the Lord says, for violence against Jacob, for his hatred against the covenant people. So the forces of Esau joined the forces of the Gentiles in plundering Israel. The name Jacob is used to remind the inhabitants of Edom of their brotherly responsibilities and how they had failed in them. The prophet does not say, against thy brother Israel. He says, against thy brother Jacob, to remind those inhabitants of Edom that those men were brothers and they ought to have honored that brotherly covenant. Okay, so for a mere looking upon rather than offering of assistance, for rejoicing at his calamity and destruction, for speaking proudly in the day of his distress rather than weeping with him. Those are the things positively for which Edom is judged. And then note the should nots. They should not have entered into the gate of Jerusalem. They should not have looked with satisfaction upon the affliction of Israel. They should not have laid their hands on the substance of Jacob. They should not have stood in the way of escape to do refugees violence. And they should not have conducted man-stealing with those that remained. And so we see then that Edom rejoiced. And not only did they rejoice, but they participated in the destruction of Jerusalem when the Chaldeans came in like a flood. And then the judgment is again described. It is called the day of the Lord. And it shall be upon all the heathen with whom they have allied themselves. What did Edom do? Instead of allying himself with his brother Jacob, he allied himself with all of his enemies, with all of the unbelieving nations. And then that which they have done shall be visited upon their own heads. And this is a common theme in Scripture, isn't it? Even our Lord Jesus Christ, if you remember, when we just recently read Matthew chapter 7, said what? With the measure ye meet, it shall be meted unto you again. All right, so then we have the statements, finally closing up Obadiah, statements of deliverance, right? The final section, the Lord vindicates his people, he promises their exaltation, and the abasement of all those that come against them. Remember, if God has a people that he loves, and he does, then those who come against the people whom he loves, what will the Lord do to them? Well, he will defend his people, and he will rise up against their enemies. One modern preacher called this the love that God hates, right? The love for evil, the love for rapacious behavior against his people. And the Lord will rise up in defense of his own. So, first of all, they will possess their possessions. They will be the flame that kindles the fire in the midst of their enemies. And then we see Esau and Jacob as prophetical types of believers and unbelievers at the end, when it says, the saviors here are the ministers of the gospel age under Christ, the one Savior, and the preaching of the gospel is the means of that restoration. And then note also that that same preaching will judge the unbelievers in that they believe not the message of the Lord Jesus Christ when he brings the kingdom and establishes it through the preaching of the gospel. And that's how Obadiah ends. So for, you know, just to make a couple of quick uses before we close up Obadiah, let us remember the brotherly covenant. Let us remember what it means to be kind to one another, to be of assistance to one another, to encourage one another. Let us remember what it means to stand behind one another, to have each other's backs, as we put it today. In the day of Jacob's calamity, if he would have looked to his brother, he would have found that his brother joined in the calamity rather than preserving and supporting him. Let us remember then that, you know, what we owe to one another. We owe to one another that kind of support, that kind of encouragement. All right, let's stand and continue praying.